بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord and creator and the designer and the sustainer of the universe and of everything that it contains. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, final messenger Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I hope, I pray that you are all doing well by the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in a very important time, almost in the middle of summer. The heat can be high, and of course there are still concerns with regards to the pandemic, a number of cases going up and so on. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to envelop you and your loved ones in his mercy, in his protection, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless you and your family members now, tomorrow, and your future generations till the day of judgment. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. My brothers and sisters, usually at this time of year, there are hundreds of thousands of pilgrims, hujjaj, arriving daily in Mecca and Medina for the journey of a lifetime, which is the journey of the Hajj. A very unique, a very special journey, one that millions of people around the world can only dream of, and who save money for their entire lives sometimes so that they can have this opportunity to spend 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 days in the Holy Lands, in the most sacred places on earth. At this time of year, there would be hundreds of flights arriving daily in Jeddah, in Medina, buses filled with people. Of course, there are trains now as well, as there were in the past. There was a train line that would run from Damascus to Medina to Manawara during the Ottoman times. Of course, unfortunately, it was destroyed. So buses, trains, trucks even. I remember going for Hajj and seeing trucks that had driven from Russia, from Chechnya. People coming for Hajj in trucks. People go on bikes. There's always a story almost every year of someone who has biked for Hajj, thousands of kilometers. And some stories even of people walking, you know, someone who really wanted to perform the Hajj was not able to afford the trip. So a person actually walked, you know, through many countries, coming from a different continent, you know. And of course, in the past, people would also go on ships and they would ride on camels. And this was a manifestation of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he told him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقًا. Call all people to the pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel from every distant path. And subhanAllah, if you read the commentary, the tafsir of this ayah, essentially, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was essentially alone when he was given this command. And some reports say that, you know, he asked, how will my voice reach them and how will people find out? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, or it was said to him, you go ahead and make the call. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take your voice, your invitation to every distant part of the world. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did his part. And there's different reports of where he was standing, most likely on a high spot in the mountain. Abu Qubais, which is right beside the Kaaba, or on some other high spot, and he made this call to call people. And people continue to come, and they continue to come every single year. But this year, of course, is very unique. The Hajj will be going ahead, alhamdulillah, but in a very limited capacity. For the first time, and I was doing some reading, Allah knows best, but it appears for the first time in over 700 years, first time in over 700 years, that people will not be traveling from around the world to perform the Hajj from outside the land of the Haramain. So alhamdulillah, the Hajj will go ahead, but it will be limited due to the pandemic. Due to the pandemic, it will be limited to people who live in the vicinity, who live close by, who do not need to cross international borders to perform the Hajj. Now, earlier in the year, the Umrah was stopped, and that came as a shock to many people. Many had plans, maybe you did as well, to perform Umrah during March break. The saddest story for me was a flight that was, two incidents. One flight that had already departed, and the pilgrims, people going to perform the Umrah, were going to transfer in Cairo, at Cairo airport, to switch over to a flight to Medina. And during their stopover, they were told that the Umrah has been closed and that they will no longer be able to continue their journey. And the second incident, and there may be more like this, were pilgrims in Pakistan who had boarded on their planes, who were ready to take off. And right then, the news came that the Umrah had been closed and therefore they would not be able to proceed. You know, how sad those people must have been. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for their good intentions and bring them back when it is safe for them to come. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We saw the shocking and saddening images of the empty mataf around the Kaaba. You're so used to seeing thousands of people performing tawaf, performing circumambulation around the Kaaba. And suddenly to see it empty is very sad, very shocking. And at that time, our brothers and sisters, we wondered how long it would last. And alas, it appears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed that almost no one will be invited to visit his house from abroad for this great act of worship. The Hajj, of course, is one of the pillars of Islam, obligatory upon all of those who are able to perform it, who have the health and the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as a duty to Allah for those who have the means. Now, many of our brothers and sisters were looking forward to performing Hajj this year, and much thought, resolve, savings, arrangements had been made. So there had been a great anxiety and concern this year about their Hajj, which, of course, as we now know, is not going to happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your good intentions. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward each of you for a completed, accepted Hajj, and to grant you a safe and accepted Hajj once again. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that 6 years after the Hijrah, 6 years after the migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, it was 6 years after that 1,400 companions joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit Makkah finally. They were eagerly awaiting the opportunity to finally visit the Kaaba and perform tawaf, circumambulation around the Kaaba. But after traveling close to 400 kilometers from Medina, approximately the distance from Medina to Mecca. So after traveling close to 400 kilometers, they were stopped just 20 kilometers, approximately 20 kilometers, 22, 24 kilometers from the Kaaba. They were stopped. They had their ihram on. They were ready to go, but they were stopped and they were not allowed to proceed as they should have been by the people of Mecca. They were extremely disappointed. Can you imagine? Right? After 6 years, people who were in Mecca before, people who had traveled for Hajj, who had traveled to perform Umrah, to perform a tawaf around the Kaaba, they had to patiently wait for 6 years. And then finally, the Prophet ﷺ, sees a dream, and they think that it is a good sign that they will be allowed in, and they're prepared, and they have, such a large group of people, so much anticipation, so much love, so much excitement, and just 20, 24 kilometers away from the Kaaba, from where they want to be, where their heart desires to be, at the first house of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are turned back. They are stopped and they're not allowed to proceed. Of course, it's a long story, the Treaty of Arabia. But nonetheless, this is something that the Prophet ﷺ and his companions went through. They were extremely disappointed and had to take off their ihram without entering Mecca. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed that they would come back the next year in a much better state. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the same for us as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a reward, grant the reward of an accepted Hajj, for a complete accepted Hajj, for every single brother and sister who was intending to go this year. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you a much better Hajj in future years when it is safe. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likely performed one Hajj. Some scholars believe he may have done two before the Hijrah, before the migration. The final Hajj, the Hajjatul Wada', was in the 10th year after Hijrah, with approximately 114,000 companions. How many? 114,000 companions. So it was big compared to this year's Hajj, which is going to be approximately 1,000 people. The Hajjatul Wada' was quite large in terms of number, and of course in terms of importance as well. And the Prophet ﷺ gave the famous khutbah, the farewell sermon. And if you look at the lessons from the sermon, my brothers and sisters, they're very relevant, especially when we consider the state of the Ummah today, which is quite sad. The Prophet ﷺ reminded us about the sacredness of life and property, protecting the life and property of others, especially our brothers and sisters. A reminder that everyone is fully accountable for their deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take each person to account in this life. Sometimes we forget and we behave as if there is no accountability, that we can get away with things. And the reality is, my brothers and sisters, we can't get away with anything, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring each person to account, no matter who they are. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be afraid on the day of judgment due to the judgment and accountability that they will have to face from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the best of people, the best people. So this is something that we should always be aware of and afraid of as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. So return the goods that were entrusted to you. So be careful about the amana, about the trust that has been put in you. And hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Right? A very important principle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam re-emphasized, reminded us about the prohibition of dealing with riba, of dealing with most forms of interest. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that beware of shaitan for the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. This is also very important. Shaitan has lost all hopes that he will be able to lead you, ever be able to lead you astray in the big things. So beware of following him in the small things, in the seemingly little things, because he knows he won't succeed you with the big things, but he will try to lead you astray, most likely slowly, 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 through seemingly little things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the rights of women over men and the rights of men over women. Right? There's a lot of discussion about this area, of course, nowadays. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already emphasized this and addressed this, the rights of women over men. So yes, women have rights over men, and also the rights of men over women. So both husband and wife have rights over each other. And also in a family relationship, right? The male females all have rights over each other. Treatment of women with kindness. And this is also something that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized. Modesty and chastity, right, in women. The Prophet ﷺ emphasized equality amongst all, right, in terms of race and ethnicity. Blacks, whites, Arabs, non-Arabs, etc. So the Prophet ﷺ talked about racism as well. And in the end, he said, all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again, and may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. So all the things the Prophet ﷺ has emphasized, especially in this final sermon, are things that we need to be reminded about, and we should always remember, because of course they carry great importance, considering the fact he had mentioned them in this important at this important moment in this important sermon. Now, this khutbah, of course, was given on the day of Arafah, which is the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that Al-Hajj Arafah, that Arafah is Hajj, right? Hajj is Arafah, basically that if you are not, if a person performing Hajj is not there on the day of Arafah to spend time in Arafah worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their Hajj is going to be incomplete, right? So it's not the only part of the Hajj, but it's the most important part of the Hajj. And it is not just a special day for the people performing Hajj, who of course this year are going to be very limited, but it is a special day for all. And this climax of the Hajj, this day of Arafah, will be taking place on Thursday, inshallah. Coming Thursday, inshallah, will be the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, or we have learned, that it is the day on which the religion was perfected. That the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, is the day in which the religion was perfected and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor was completed. It is reported in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Sahihain, from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that a Jewish man said to him that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, there is an ayah in your book. There is an ayah, there's a verse in your book, meaning the Quran, which you recite. If it had come to us, Jewish people, we would have taken that day as an Eid. We would have taken that day as an Eid, as a festival. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, which ayah is that? So he responded and said that the ayah is, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day I have perfected your religion for you. Akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have completed, I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, we know on which day and in which place that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was when he was standing in Arafah on a Friday. So this was, this occurred on the day of Arafah, which is a special special day, but especially because of this reason also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed and perfected the religion for us on that day. Fasting on this day, on the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Arafah, is an expiation for 2 years of misdeeds of sins. It is reported from Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that yukaffiru sanat al-madiya wal-baqiya, that expiates for the sins of the previous year and of the coming year, or it could be translated as the remaining year, but essentially the year that is coming ahead, or that the year we are in. This fasting is mustahab, right? It is virtuous for those who are not on Hajj. In the case for the one who is in Hajj, it is not sunnah for them to fast on the day of Arafah, because the Prophet ﷺ did not fast on the day of Arafah while performing Hajj. And it is also narrated that he forbade fasting on the day of Arafah in Arafah, meaning for the person who is making Hajj. It is a day also of forgiveness of sins and freedom from the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ma min yawmin akthara min an yu'tiq Allah fihi 'abdan min an-nar min yawm Arafah, that there is no day, there is no day on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the fire than the day of Arafah. He comes close and expresses his pride to the angels, saying, "What do these people want?" وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُوا ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَيَقُولُ مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes pride in the fact that his servants are seeking his forgiveness, his servants are seeking freedom from the fire, that his servants are seeking acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also a day of dua, my brothers and sisters, regardless of whether we are in Arafah or not, and of course, most of us, well, all of us pretty much are not going to be in Arafah this year. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that khayru du'a'i du'a'u yawmi Arafah. That the best dua, the best of dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. So this is a time on Thursday, inshallah, during the day especially, to make as much dua as we can. And as I mentioned last week, we are not able to be in Hajj. Most people are not able to be in Hajj. There's a great loss, I guess, of spirituality due to the fewer numbers. So let us try our best, inshallah, to try to increase our response, our turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase our spirituality, more so this year than other years, inshallah. No matter what we do from outside of the blessed land, outside of Haramain al-Sharifain, it can never make up. It can never be the same. You can never make up for that loss of not being there, or you can't make up, you know, the blessings of actually being there and actually performing the Hajj. You can never get it from anywhere else. And there's a silly article that's being circulated about doing a virtual Hajj. And sometimes I think people just do these things to get some coverage and some free publicity, you know, Allahu a'lam. But doing a virtual Hajj, you know, virtual reality experience, it may be a very, very interesting experience, maybe very educational, right? But in terms of trying to replicate the blessings and the virtues of actually performing the Hajj physically, that could never be replicated by any form of virtual reality or anything else that you can think of. Okay? You have to be there and you have to do it in order to receive those blessings. Unless, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to give it to someone, and that is in Allah's hands, not in our hands. So, brothers and sisters, let us, first of all, recognize that this is a very unique circumstance that we are in. Just like Ramadan passed in a very different way, this moment that we are in right now, this day, these days of Hajj that we're living through, with Hajj being curtailed in this way, as I mentioned earlier, Allah knows best, but perhaps the first time in 700 years that people are not able to travel for Hajj from around the world. This is a historic time, and of course not one to be celebrated, but one that should be concerning to us as believers. Should be concerning to us as believers, and we should be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness, seeking His guidance, and seeking His mercy, and especially His forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings that may have led us to this point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Learn about the Khutbatul Wada', the farewell sermon, the lessons from the sermon, act upon them, recognize the value of the day of Arafah in terms of fasting and dua. And of course, the day after the day of Arafah is the day of Eid al-Adha. Celebrate the Eid, inshallah, with a sacrifice. It is either considered to be required by some, or an emphasized great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would say normally try to do it yourself, but most people will not be able to do it themselves this year, especially due to the circumstances. But nonetheless, try to partake in it. People ask, okay, should we send it overseas? Should we do it here? I say that, you know, in terms of virtues, it's actually better to do it closer to you and to do it yourself if possible. But in terms of benefit, we know that there are many people around the world who will never get to eat meat, and it will benefit them greatly if we send our sacrifice overseas. So if you're able to, a good practice, if you can, just a personal recommendation, is that you do one yourself here and you send one overseas as well. So that way you get to both, you know, act upon the sunnah and get the virtues of the sacrifice being close to you and partaking in its meat, and you also get to benefit others as well. Otherwise, if you do it here, of course, you can still share the meat as well with those in need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sacrifices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His closeness. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. There was some sad news this week. Brother Sharif al-Ansi messaged us and told us that his father-in-law Farooq Abu Alam passed away yesterday. Lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Brother Farooq Sheikh's mother-in-law, Sister Zinatul Nisa, also passed away in India. Lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And the mother of our sister, Rasha Sakhar, the mother-in-law of Brother Muhammad Mumar, Dr. Hamid al-Husseini, passed away in Egypt. Lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So let's make dua for them and all of those who have passed away. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kulluhu. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم وأكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وأبدلهم ديارا خيرا من ديارهم وأبدلهم أهلا خيرا من أهلهم وأبدلهم أزواجا خيرا من أزواجهم وأدخلهم الجنة وأعذهم من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا اللهم من احييته منا فاحيه على الاسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الايمان والله we ask you to shower your mercy and forgiveness upon all of those who have returned to you ya rabbal alamin والله please cure all of our brothers and sisters who are ill والله please grant them relief والله please remove everything harmful from their bodies والله our brothers and sisters who are undergoing cancer treatment Allah, our brother and sister suffering from long-term pain and injuries, our brother who is debilitated, and sisters who are debilitated by unknown illnesses, Allah, all of those who are ill with COVID-19 or other diseases or at risk of becoming ill, Allah, you are the protector, you are the healer, Allah, please grant them a speedy recovery, Allah, please protect them from all types of illnesses and pain and suffering through your power and might, remove their hardships, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Allah, we are helpless in front of you, Allah, there are children who are sick, Oh Allah, there are families who are worried. Oh Allah, there are elders who are sick. Oh Allah, please grant your shower your mercy upon all of them. Oh Allah, please grant them speedy recovery and relief from their ailments, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please protect us and all of our fellow human beings, especially the frontline workers who are serving others, those who are having to go out. Oh Allah, please protect them, all Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant relief to all of those who are in pain. All of those who are in grief, and stress, and anxiety, oh Allah, please replace all of those feelings with happiness and peace and joy, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please open the doors of halal sustenance for all of those who are in need or in debt. Oh Allah, those in financial difficulty. Oh Allah, those who have needs that are unmet. Oh Allah, please make it easy for them and grant them the relief, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant us a good return to you during this life, at the end of this life, and on the Day of Judgment, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please make us those who are accepted on the day of Arafah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant us deliverance from the fire of hell, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please accept and grant all of our halal needs, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please protect us from all evils, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please accept all of our calls to you on the day of Arafah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma ahdina fiman hadayt, wa'afina fiman afayt, wa tawallana fiman tawallayt, wa barik lana fima a'tayt. وقنا برحمتك واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك اللهم أنت الغني ونحن الفقراء إليك وأنت القوي ونحن الضعفاء إليك اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد به عبدك ونبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم اجعل لنا من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ومن كل بلاء عافية واستر عوراتنا وأصلح نياتنا وذرياتنا وأحسن خواتمنا واحفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ونعوذ بعظمتك أن نغتال من تحتنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا وكن لنا ولا تكن علينا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا واشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا فبلغ فيما يرضيك عنا أمالنا، وارحم ضعفنا، واجبر كسرنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لك أسلمنا وبك آمنا، وعليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا، وبك خاصمنا وإليك حاكمنا. فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا، وما أسررنا وما أعلنا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر، لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم ربنا إننا آمنا، فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك، والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم أنت ربنا، لا إله إلا أنت، خلقتنا ونحن عبيدك، ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا، نبوء لك بنعمتك علينا، ونبوء بذنوبنا، فاغفر لنا إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها، وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم أصبغ علينا لباس الصحة والعافية، واجعلها عونا لنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء وهذا البلاء يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعل لنا من كل ضيق مخرجا، ومن كل هم فرجا، ومن كل بلاء عافية. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا، وعملا متقبلا، ورزقا حلالا واسعا، ولسانا ذاكرا، وقلبا خاشعا، وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين، واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات، وترك المنكرات، وحب المساكين، وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. وإذا أردت بقوم فتنة فاقبضنا إليك غير مفتونين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشع، ومن الدعاء لا يسمع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن علم لا ينفع. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، والعجز والكسل، والبخل والجبن، وضلع الدين، وغلبة الرجال. اللهم ارزقنا قبل الموت توبة، وعند الموت شهادة، وبعد الموت جنة يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم بارك في أعمار آبائنا وأمهاتنا، ومتعهم بالصحة والعافية. اللهم ارحم من انتقل منهم إلى رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين، خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين، ووحد صفوفهم، واصلح قادتهم، واجمع كلمتهم للحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان، خصوصا في برما، وفي فلسطين، وفي الصين، وفي كشمير، وفي الهند، وفي سريلانكا، وفي سوريا، وفي العراق، وفي اليمن، وفي الصومال، وفي ليبيا، وفي أفغانستان، وفي كل مكان. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان، وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة، وفي الآخرة حسنة، وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم تقبل منا، إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا رب. Jazakumullah khair, my brothers and sisters. Those who are at home, please come ahead and offer your 4 rak'at of Dhuhr prayer. Those who have registered for Salatul Jum'ah, please come at your allotted time. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Arrangements, by the way, with regards to Eid prayer are being made right now. So inshallah, we will announce by Wednesday what those arrangements will be.